Brian Munson.
Hey, long call. Comfy left Zoom Buster 63 Bang Z Maui. Alert. Paradise Z Burger Y Rap. On one.
Husker Online on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
All right, we're joined now on a 42 degrees Thesaurus Hotline by Brian Munson of HuskerOnline.com. Munson's long night for you last night. This is not a question that is pointed at anything. I'm just guessing that you had a long night that ended up nothing happened at the end of the night.
Yeah, so for all the reference out there, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. So traded out with KC from 28 to 32 and then traded out of the first round altogether from 32 to 33. So first round, first pick tonight.
On the clock.
And what's the most difficult part for me to swallow is this. Clearly, Buffalo needs a wide receiver, and two wide receivers were taken at those two spots. Two guys, obviously, that were mentioned that would probably be there in the best-case scenarios if Buffalo decided not to trade up, which obviously Brandon Bean said that that never even occurred to him to do last night.
Never thought about it.
It was a wild draft, though. Six of the first 12 quarterbacks, not a defensive guy chosen until 14. So little run on defensive guys here, there, wide receivers kind of kept hitting and missing there. There's some really odd, very good available, players that are coming up here in the early parts of round two, which will be fun to watch tonight. But yeah, I was a little miffed. I mean, if you're going to be judged in the next pick, the first pick tonight, if you're going to take a wide receiver, ultimately, it's going to come back to the success of your choice and against the other two guys, and with one of those guys, the fastest guy in the draft, going to your rival, Kansas City. So I don't think I like that type of, lens of it, eventually to be compared against. So it's not something I don't think Bean really thought a whole lot about. The picks down the list that he wanted, the fourth and the fifth, I could care less about.
Hey, man, I understand that we want to get GMs get really infatuated with draft capital because I think they think that it buys them more time. And that's probably true and it's understandable. But I don't know. We've seen now pretty good examples of teams who are we have a need. We have a guy at our need that we really like. Let's just draft him and let the chips fall where they may after that. At least we shot our shot.
Several guys last night.
Exactly.
Look at Penix at 8. I mean, I don't understand that pick at all with Cousins being there. Don't get me wrong. But they did not see any other reason not to take their guy. And Penix is a guy that I don't know where else he would have landed if he got past 8. I don't know how far he even falls. It's like an Aaron Rodgers kind of situation. Somebody's waiting to come up and chomp on him maybe later in the 20s or something like that. But yeah, pretty wild draft overall.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brian Munson of Husker Online. Okay, we're busy this weekend, and it started early with a couple commitments yesterday for Nebraska. So that's by the way, some good vibes going into the big recruiting weekend and the spring game weekend. So tell us a little bit about how it came together for Tanner Turch and Bear Tenney.
Yeah, so Tanner Turch took a visit last Thursday, I want to say. Yeah, it had been a week since he picked up his offer. So he played with Rex Guthrie a year ago. And actually had just been featured by Tom Lemming when Tom Lemming was kind of doing the state tours,
all the
Nebraska in-state guys were there a week ago, meet with him, Connor Booth, Christian Jones, all those guys. He was then out in Colorado and caught up with Turch and kind of called him the best kept sleeper, under the radar kind of guy. And, lo and behold, he's in Nebraska a few days later. He picks up an offer from Nebraska and jumped in, I think, actually technically before yesterday. He's been part of the class now for a while, just kind of catching on the download to get things kind of in order to where he could go ahead and do a public announcement. But, kind of a two-way player, like his film, could play wide receiver, very physical guy, fast guy, not like 10-6 fast like Carpenter and Hayes, but, a 10-9 guy. It loves to block, loves the special teams life of football, like says that that's the part of the game that he just absolutely just loves. So he wants to be part of that. That's, and you don't typically hear that from a lot of people, like special teams is part of the game, but like some guys just live for it and Turch lives for it. So I think Matt Rhule and his staff technically see Turch figuring on the defensive side of the football first, maybe like an in the box safety kind of guy. But then obviously has that flexibility to potentially move over to offense. And then Bertini, interesting kid, was a Dallas local guy up until a year ago. So Lucas Lovejoy is basically up the road just north of Allen, and everybody kind of has heard about Allen. So Lucas Lovejoy just kind of right north of that, big kid. There's a video that I included in my stories of him. He was 6'6", 240, and he was running 21 miles an hour. and that's just insane because Bryson Hayes has the same video kind of up, and they had him at 21.3. He's 5'11", 160 or 180. You know, so, I mean, there's – Tenney is a athletic freak. And the thing about watching Tenney's film, which is really, really fun to do, by the way, he could do – the hybrid flex, he could play the tight because he's a 6'6", 240 guy, but then he also has a lot of plays like where he's lined up as kind of like a wing back or really more of a true H, you know, and maybe more of a U like back in the day, kind of like a Mike McNeil kind of going in motion,
yeah,
different things. So they've got some different flavors of dudes in the room now. Satterfield has got to be just like jumping with joy. I mean, just with what he has done, you know, there over the last year. Now he's got Tenney. You still have Lofton. You know, you still have Zebert there in the state. Could be a nice, again, another good tight end haul for the Huskers in 2025.
Munson, one of the big takeaways from Tenney was his quote about why, summing up why Nebraska and why he's checking it out and why he ended up committing, which involved Dylan Raiola. He said, who wouldn't want to play with Dylan Raiola? So he hasn't even played a game yet. He's about to play his first spring game on Saturday. Are we just now getting into the phase where Nebraska can kind of capitalize from a big time skill position standpoint on guys that want to play with Dylan Raiola?
Yeah, I think that they are. I mean, you have to consider how late in the game it was when Dylan Raiola wanted to flip from Georgia to Nebraska in the first place. And he had really helped, you know, Kirby Smart and that staff. I mean, recruiting to Georgia, a little different. You know, the successful run that they are in, you know, you can typically get some of the nation's best regardless. But when you have a five-star, you know, leading the charge for you, a home state kind of guy at that point, it's a little different. It's a more compelling message. But now you put a five-star in Lincoln, who's a legacy, and you give them a chance to kind of come to practice and see that live arm, you know, firsthand. You have to then, you know, apply that logic to what's going on this week. When you have, you know, three of what you're considered like your top remaining wide receivers left on your board, like with Michael Terry and Cortez Mills and Emmanuel Choice, you're bringing in all three of those guys this weekend. And I don't think that's, you know, just by a coinkydink. That's a planned move to allow them to kind of come in and see it firsthand what they've got there for the next 4 years at Nebraska. So, I think that's on top of everything else that Matt Rhule had said about, you know, the hosting the guys for practices versus the games.
Yeah.
Which is a little controversial. He said, you can go ahead and add this as the cherry on top. You're getting a chance to come in and watch this five-star guy take snaps, lead the offense, and see the bigger picture about what could be happening there in Lincoln.
Brian Munson of Husker Online is with us. So speaking of, we knew it was going to be a pretty big visit weekend, and then some more stuff has kind of seeped in throughout the week here. This is more star-studded than I expected it to be. That's for sure, Brian. Mm-hmm. You had the breakdown today on HuskerOnline.com, but we got a five-star. We already knew about, you know, TJ Latif and those guys wanting to make another appearance here, maybe even a Cortez Mills, who's been on Nebraska's radar for a long time. But now some more big names coming in for the weekend. Tell us about them.
Yeah, I mean, let's consider this really quick. The low man on this totem pole is John Mills, and John Mills is currently trending for Texas, Florida, and USC. So that's the low man. And so everything else then is start from the top. And let's do that, because Michael Terry, like you had mentioned, Nebraska is hosting a five-star athlete, the number one athlete in the country, according to On3, but really Nebraska looking at him to play wide receiver, 6'3", 210 pounds from San Antonio. And then I'll mention the other two wide receivers here, which are – so you have one five-star, six four-stars, and then you catch up with the lowly three-star, John Mills, who's trending to Texas. But a big move last night was Dawson Merritt moving up his official visit from later in June to this weekend. So Dawson Merritt, who was actually in Lincoln a week and a half ago from Overland Park, Kansas, I believe he's the number 11 or number 10 rated linebacker according to On3. He's coming in this weekend now. You know, it's really kind of a Nebraska, Alabama, you know, kind of battle right here. So interesting view on this one this weekend. And you catch up with Cortez Mills, the other wide receiver for Homestead, Florida, who had visited Nebraska earlier in the spring, along with Emmanuel Choice, Lancaster, Texas, wide receiver, obviously same high school as Kewan Lacy. So I saw him play a couple of years. Let me tell you something. That dude can do a lot of things stretching the field and in really, really, really tight places like a phone booth. I saw him take away a ball. Like, his hands and his strength is just – it's amazing. I think it's going to be tough to get him away from Oklahoma, but Nebraska's going to try it again this weekend. You get, like you said, T.J. Lateef, who's the number one quarterback on their board. You get Alai Kalanuivalu from Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, he'll be there with Xander Rugaroli, who obviously was at Bishop Gorman a year ago.
There's a whole crew coming in from Bishop Gorman, right?
So that's going to get updated here in about 30 minutes. The other two guys were unfortunately unable to make it in this weekend, but they're both planning official visits. So stay tuned on that one, Husker fans. I got an update coming in about 35 minutes on that. Adonis Curie, who backed out on a visit, who's going to reschedule, probably the number one cornerback on Nebraska's board, but they backfill him with Antonio Branch, who's from Miami, Florida, Booker T. Washington. And then, like I mentioned, John Mills, the big offensive lineman from San Francisco, who actually visited Nebraska about a week and a half ago, again, is back in Lincoln, again, trending towards Texas. But Nebraska's got, I would say out of those eight guys, honestly, there are three or four of them are at the top of their position, if not right at the top. So pretty amazing group of visitors, not even looking at the unofficial guys.
Right, and there's a lot of local guys in that conversation. So Rule talked about the official visits and the unofficial visits and changing things in that regard. I thought that was pretty interesting. And I think a lot of it probably has to do with timelines for these guys, which is what we talk about all the time. Give us a sense of, like, you know, we always ask about, like, realistic shots, but how far along down the road are guys like Michael Terry, the five-star athlete, or Dawson Merritt, you know, the four-star linebacker? Like, how far along are they in their process as to where Nebraska could actually jump into this realistically?
I think Nebraska is in it with Merritt. The big curveball that he has had to assimilate has been the Alabama offer. And that kind of came out of left field. I think Nebraska fans probably dropped a couple of four-letter words when that happened, because it was immediately following his unofficial visit to Nebraska, actually, a week or so ago. With Michael Terry, I think it's interesting, because this all goes back to giving kudos to Garrett McGuire. Garrett McGuire is doing a fantastic job recruiting Michael Terry, and Michael Terry has a connection, you know, with Nebraska through McGuire. This is an important one. This really, you know, obviously you're it's tough. Texas has got a lot of traction. They're locking down the state very, very well. If they're not doing it, A&M's keeping them home. If you guys have not seen how well A&M is recruiting right now, go out there and take a look at their commitment list. They are locking down the state as well. So it tunes up basically, you know, all the competition that's there for Michael Terry already. So that's a very interesting one to watch. Nebraska stands to gain a lot. And Cortez Mills, and unfortunately like a guy like Emmanuel Choice too, let's just grab all three of the wide receivers. Nebraska's been kind of losing ground since Mills visited in January. Miami has turned up the heat. So has Clemson. Florida is doing their job to kind of keep him home as well. He's done a fantastic job. All of his 7-on-7 film is just terrific. He's, like I called him before, the best 50-50 guy in the country. So you want a guy like that on the outside to go ahead and throw the football up and go get it, because he will come down with the ball. And Emmanuel Choice is, like I said, a very similar player to that. He's got a little bit different of a skill set. You know, obviously, whenever you get guys like this, even if you can get them to commit by the time, you know, end of June comes around, we all remember what happened with Kiwon Lacy, and we all know how the recruiting game kind of works when you deal with these higher-rated kind of players. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end.
Yeah.
So you have to remain diligent in getting these guys to continue to keep coming back and developing the relationship, kind of trying to protect them. But there's nothing that, if Michael Terry committed this weekend, Sarkisian's not going to stop recruiting a guy like that.
No.
That's just the bottom line.
Nope, it would. It would certainly not be over. It'd be a long wait all the way until December. All right, Munson, great stuff as always. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Hopefully you get what you need tonight. And, you know, he can recover a little bit and then enjoy the spring game tomorrow.
35 minutes, we'll be dropping our visitor preview for this weekend, man. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
There you go. Thanks, Brian. That's Brian Munson of HuskerOnline.com. Check him out there. The visitor preview is going up here shortly. Got to a lot of it there. He'll have some more little nuggets in there as well. We'll come back. Brian Christofferson of Husker 24/7's next. Let's turn our attention to the field, what we may see, what we expect, how seriously should we take it, all of those things coming up with BC on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. But a reminder, you know, whenever we have like a great interview or something like that, we'll send it along to the people and they'll send it along to you. 1620 The email, a good interview, a great segment, something where we were making fun of Nick. Could be in 1620 The email. So join the VIP club, sign up for 1620 The email, and you'll be the first to know. Our inner circle, I suppose, if you will, includes all sorts of things from us here at 1620 The Zone. Sign up today. Go to our website, 1620thezone.com.